From Wall Street to your street and Washington, too. Listen to podcasts from the Wall Street Journal and get the world delivered to your ears. Look for us on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and the Google Play Music app. WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously.
Well, we're living in the Bitcoin age. The bad news? It's easier for hackers to hold your data hostage. What you need to know coming up.
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Hello and welcome. This is the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing from the newsroom in New York. I'm Tanya Bustos. And in this Bitcoin / digital age, ransomware attacks are surging. Things like digital currency and better encryption software has basically made things ripe for hackers to hold data hostage. But there are precautions you can take and ways to protect yourself. Here with the latest on that front is Wall Street Journal reporter Robert McMillan. Hi, Robert.
Hey, Tanya.
So it seems like the climate is ripe for ransomware attacks, but let's backtrack just for a moment. What exactly is ransomware?
Well, you're typing away at your computer, and suddenly, usually without warning, a screen pops up, and it tells you that something has gone horribly wrong. You start looking at the files on your computer, Word files in particular, but other types of files can also be affected, and you can't open any of them. The sign on your computer says, you know, there's a variety of things, but basically it says, give us some money and you'll be able to see your files again. And so that's ransomware. It's basically malicious software that's often created by gangs of hackers, or, you know, people sell it on the black market and they basically will send you an email. You'll click on the email and your computer will quietly download the software, often without you realizing that this is happening.
Wow.
So it's just that when it happens, it's just
when it happens,
a
you know.
Terrible thing.
Wow. So why is it on the rise? Is there any particular driving factor that's really just catapulted it to the forefront?
You know, I think the main reason that it's really going taking off this year is because there have been a couple of really high-profile infections at places like universities and hospitals and
right.
sort of these medium-sized institutions, which basically have been you know, the hospital I interviewed for my article, they were back in the 1970s when this stuff hit. It infected many computers. All their computerized systems stopped working. They couldn't punch in for work. They couldn't manage, you know, sort of the flow of prescriptions and keep track of people, what room they were in. So they needed this to end really quickly, and they were willing to pay $17,000 in a digital currency ultimately to do that. So I think the stories of this happening have made other people get interested in it, and sort of at the same time we've also had a lot of traditional attacks. It's getting maybe a little bit harder for people to get money from you know that there are these old email attacks where people say they're moving money out of Africa or something
sure.
like that, and you just need to pay a small fee and you'll be rich. People aren't falling for those as much anymore. So I think it's a combination of those two things.
Wow. Having said all that, let's say we are attacked. What's the first course of action?
Well, you got to do something before you're attacked, okay?
Well, let's prepare. Okay, how can we prevent?
As I was working on this article, one thing, you know, was top of mind to me, which was back up my computer. If you have all these files backed up, the ransomware isn't, you know, nearly as effective, right?
Okay.
Because you can just wipe your computer and restore from backup. So that's the first thing. Once you're infected, it's sort of an individual choice. Some people pay the ransom, and I think, honestly, the people perpetrating this crime, they don't want, just like they you know, they're responding to these stories of people paying out, and that's driving people to do it.
Mm-hmm.
If there were stories of people paying out the ransomware and not getting it back, I think that would be very bad for their business. So I think they're actually incentivized to help you, to make sure that it works. But before you do that, you know, there are a number of these forms of ransomware don't actually work that well, and they're ways of getting the secret numbers, what they call a key, to unscramble it, before you go down the paying the ransom path. You know, there are ways of recovering it. Sometimes if you bring it into a really competent computer shop, they might be able to help you.
Okay.
you know, but you're in trouble if you're infected, I gotta say.
Now, is this just a casualty of sorts of the Bitcoin era? And, you know, we're just at a time where we have all this improved encryption software. Do you think that's another factor here in how we got here?
Yeah, that's a good point. One of the things that really struck me in doing the reporting for this article is that, you know, ransomware has actually been around since the 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
But in the last few years, it's become, you know, there's so much development in the Bitcoin digital currency,
right,
that it's become really easy for people to get cash and buy Bitcoin and to convert that Bitcoin back into whatever local currency they're using. So here in the United States, I interviewed one man who was infected with Bitcoin. He had never heard of it, but within a couple of hours, he realized that he could go to essentially a gas station a few miles from his house and put a bunch of money in a Bitcoin, what they call a Bitcoin ATM. He put like $500 into this ATM, and then he got these Bitcoin numbers that allowed him to transfer funds to the people that had infected his computer. So that's getting a lot easier to use the Bitcoin digital currency, and that's kind of making it easier for the bad guys to get their money out. It used to be kind of a tricky thing to convert whatever ransom you were paid into your local currency and have the law enforcement not stop that.
Wow, yeah, it's a new digital world, and it's just, you know, gotta be careful about stuff these days. Wow. Bob, thank you, as always, for the important info and for joining the podcast.
Thanks for having me here, Tanya. Take care.
We've been speaking to Wall Street Journal reporter Robert McMillan. He is based in San Francisco, covering all things tech for the Wall Street Journal. That'll do it for this edition of the Tech News Briefing. For the Wall Street Journal, I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. Thanks for listening.
Love this show? Check out others by visiting wsj.com/podcasts. See our full selection under programs.